The Orthodox Christian Network is honored to present the following recording from the Orthodox Christian Association of Medicine, Psychology, and Religion's 2013 Annual Conference. The keynote address by His Grace Bishop John of Worcester and New England.
It is a great pleasure to introduce my bishop and my friend, His Grace John. I want you to know that we drove down here together on Tuesday night, right through the night, and we, His Grace did most of the driving, and that should give you an indication of his strength and his dedication. I've known His Grace for more than 2 years, and I count him now as a good friend as well as a spiritual father. His Grace grew up in Boston. He was a priest for 33 years in the Pittsburgh area. Married to Joanne, he had 3 children. He has edited the Word magazine for around 30 years. And he has a long list of degrees and other ministries he specifically asked me not to mention, but you can read about him on his bio in your pamphlet. After Joanne fell asleep in the Lord, he was shortly thereafter elevated to bishop and sent to serve our New England diocese and thereby coming home. So it is my honor to introduce His Grace Bishop John, Your Grace. Thank you very much. I don't really know how I agreed to do this. A question that typifies post-Christian and post-modern thought is, what does the church do for me? Or what should I expect to get from my church? My unapologetic response is an opportunity to give. The church allows us to give, and giving is a human need and is necessary for our happiness. Happiness, or perhaps a better word, contentment, requires us to act in a way that is congruent with who and what we are, who and what we are created to be. We people, or perhaps a better word, persons, are created in the image and likeness of God, and God is love. To be like God, we need to love God and take care of each other. To be like God, we need the other to love. The church is where and how we join ourselves to God and serve Him and each other. Christians cannot be Christians without worshiping God and serving each other. Christians are Christians when we act together in the church. This principle is just as true for older Christians. Older Christians also need to worship God and care for one another. This is our Christian vocation at every developmental stage. I had a parish council member who was convinced at every stage of his life that the financial and work burden of the church should primarily be borne by those others in the other stages of life. Young families had to care for their young, so shouldn't give when he was young. Older families have to marry off their children and pay for college. And older couples are then on fixed incomes and have earned the right to relax and not contribute. The truth is, older Christians still need to worship God and serve the other in order to fulfill our vocations as Christians. Like those in every other stage of development, older Christians find contentment and congruence in worshiping God and serving each other. Most older Christians have more time and more expendable dollars. They also have a lifetime gathered of experiences and wisdom. Older Christians do have some special gifts and some special challenges, but remain Christ's church, and Christ loves His church to whom he is wed. We would err if we were to assume that by now all older Christians know how to worship, witness, love, and serve. Many of us have spent our lives being busy with distractions of this life and modern times. Many of us, even over the age of 60, still have no personal prayer rule, have not learned the corporate worship music or order of the church services, and we don't have enough understanding of our faith to share even in a discussion with others. But we now have more time and energy to give to the church than at any other time in our lives. We need you to value us, teach us, and empower us to serve. That is what you, the church leaders, can do for us. Value us, teach us, empower us to serve. But you need to do so without damaging our fragile senior egos. You can't let us know that you know how unprepared and unequipped we are for the tasks at hand. Too many of us have fallen into despair, imagining that our lives have been lived almost completely in vain, not having made any difference at all in the world in which we live. What a blessing it would be if you can recruit us, train us, and empower us to share in the ministry of the parish. But for us to be helpful, you will need to do all three of these things: recruit, train, and empower. Your second mission, if you're willing to accept it, is to recognize that we are losing our sight, hearing, stamina, and cognitive ability. You must not treat us like we have a deficit or handicapped. We are not handicapped, just less able than we once were. Nevertheless, you can serve us and the church by recruiting, training, and empowering us to serve. Perhaps the best time to recruit us is when we are coming close to a major shift in our time, when we are approaching retirement or going on to half-time. Many of us experience a kind of crisis. Some of us define ourselves by our jobs and work relationships. We approach retirement fearful of how the world will view us. Will we be losing our meaning, our prestige, our identity? What will we do with all our time? Will we just lie around and wait to die? Many meet retirement with much anxiety. If this opportunity is missed, a visit with the older Christians can lead to exploring opportunities to serve. But some of us will have already developed a daily routine to fill our time and may leave little room for service. So the church leaders would do well to keep track of when people are coming close to these transitional times and be prepared to recruit people and train them. A personal invitation to regular adult education is in order for older Christians newly recruited to serve. If you already have an adult class going, or Bible studies or discussion groups, you will need to invite the older members of the parish in order to get them to prepare themselves to serve. After an afternoon lecture or discussion series, teaching people how to share their faith is of great help. I have asked groups to brainstorm commonly asked questions and then invited the groups to explore effective responses. Having the questions written down and outlining responses is helpful. Such notes could be offered the following week as the minutes or notes of the last meeting. And these notes can then be put together as sort of a manual for outreach and service. Outreach committees with training programs work well for older Christians. These activities could include welcoming visitors to the church, training tour guides for open houses, visiting the elderly and sick, reaching out to families or individuals who have become lax with their church attendance and the like. For such duties, choices of who to recruit should be done with care, paying attention to the social skills and the individuals being recruited. Empowering people to serve in the church also requires some deliberate planning. People should be empowered for jobs with clear beginning and ending times, so that if someone is not helpful in a particular function, it will be easier to redirect their energies. It is also helpful to have the expectations written down and included in some kind of manual. It's also smart to appoint and empower people publicly, either at a parish meeting or after liturgy with a prayer for God's help and support. This way, the parish understands the empowerment of the service. A special gift for some older Christians is the connecting of older Christians with younger. Some older men may be of great service to mentor younger men and even teens in the church. Older women grouped with younger women. They have a lifetime of experience to share, and some of their wisdom came at a very high cost. For the older Christian, an opportunity to share validates their value of their own lives and helps them to understand their own life as having been lived in a way that is worthwhile. As older Christians lose more and more of their abilities, they need to learn how to accept help from others. This is indeed a great challenge in our society that so values independence and self-sufficiency. Hopefully, an older Christian who has served even older Christians will learn from them how to receive gratefully and what a gift it is to allow someone else to give. Just as St. Basil teaches us that the beggar does more for the rich man by allowing him to be like God and give, the recipient of help allows the caregivers opportunities to serve in Christ. Indeed, opportunities to join themselves to Christ. Hopefully, by so doing, a caregiver learns how to receive as he serves others and prepares himself for these even more difficult challenges that may lay ahead. All of this work challenges our sense of well-being. Facing illness, age, and death is difficult and takes work. We are living in an age and a time where our society defies or denies death altogether. We hide it. We don't want to think about it. Church leaders will do well to offer regular opportunities for caregivers to debrief, to become deliberate, and to understand the process that they are in, not just for the people that they are serving, but also for themselves. Sharing ministry with older Christians is a win for everybody. I am grateful for this opportunity that I have been given to serve over the last 35 years, and I am grateful today for the mission and conference of OCAMPRA. I appreciate all the work that you do and the ministry that you have. Imagine if on a parish level, pastors could assemble teams of people from all of the different areas of service that OCAMPRA represents and have interdisciplinary discussions and guidance to better serve older members of the parish and to better understand how to serve the mind, the body, and the soul, how to understand all of those connections. If indeed pastors could gather interdisciplinary groups, we would learn much from each other and all be better prepared and able to serve. That's what I wanted to share, and I usually do better answering questions, so I'll accept your help. I would hope that they would meet monthly for perhaps an hour or an hour and a half, where people could present dilemmas or cases or situations, and solutions could be discovered together from an interdisciplinary in an interdisciplinary forum, where we can learn from each other, learn each other's frames, learn each other's ways of thinking and approaches, and better serve and better understand the people that all of us serve. It would also offer opportunities for people to understand what the real problems are. Sometimes we think that sometimes we're treating symptoms and don't understand the real problem, and sometimes the real problem belongs to a different discipline, and someone from a different discipline would be able to spot that and be very helpful.
So. Great. Thank you very much for your remarks. I was speaking to a priest who said to me, he said, you know, my time is very limited, and I have to choose how to spend my time. And I really think the youth are the future of the church. So I don't really spend my time with the seniors and those. It takes a lot of time, and really I focus on the youth. How would you respond to someone with that perspective?
Well, I don't know the priest that you're talking about, thankfully, so that allows me to answer more directly. I would wonder if the priest is intimidated by adults who talk back and rather spend time with the kids, because they generally ask easier questions, and their problems are sometimes for us a little bit more comfortable. So I think that we need to stretch. But what I'm suggesting this evening is that we recruit the older members to serve. And by so doing, we can multiply the opportunities for church work to get done. I believe that the church receives from God all of the charisms that the church needs to fully express the fullness of the church. But I don't believe that every parish or every pastor has all of the gifts and charisms that he needs. So the priest who can network, the priest who can identify the talents of others in the church, will do better, will serve better than the priest who thinks he has to do everything himself and can't spend time with older Christians. Investing in the youth may seem to be the best investment for the future. Perhaps if we can empower a half a dozen co-workers over the age of 50, even though that takes work, and each of them can vitalize and encourage and support 10 or 12 youth, our time would be certainly much better spent. Now, older people, even if they aren't contributing as much, but my experience is us older people do contribute better than some of the younger people and even some of the wealthier folks who are building their career. But even if that were the case, we older people are people. We're persons, and we're going to meet Christ, and we need support, and we need help, and we need to learn our faith, and we need to learn our worship. So I think that's pretty important. So I'll let Christ take care of that priest when he meets him and judges his ministry. But that's my approach. Peter? You're just scratching? Okay, John?
Christ, here at St. Catherine, we're trying to start a new ministry, reaching out to the elderly for our homebound nursing homes. And can you give us some of your insights how to train people to kill. I know a lot of younger people, middle-aged people, when they see an elderly person who's obviously physically and mentally going downhill, it's hard for them to sit and talk or to be with them. So we'd like to do something like that. Can you give us some insights of how best to go about doing that?
Sure. Dr. John is asking how to set up a outreach to older church members. I would recruit able-bodied older church members to serve, and I would do role plays with them, and I would help them understand what they are likely to meet. And then I would call them back together to debrief and discuss their encounters as a group. I took a bunch of teens to a local nursing home one time, and the volunteer director had the teens paint the fingernails, do manicures for the patients. Because I had so many teens, and this is the activity that she came up with. And some of the kids were traumatized. They had never touched an old person before. They had never gotten that close. So I would help people begin to feel close, invading each other's physical space in an appropriate way. To see people as people, and to change the expectations. You know, we might have some expectations that they're going to ask difficult questions. They ask you a difficult question, you don't have to answer it today. You can get the answer and come back. But mostly people just want to be shown that they're valuable. And you don't need a lot of talk for that, just to kind of hang out with them, and sit with them. So for us to calm down, maybe take some deep breaths, maybe change our expectations, maybe just make our goal that I'm going to spend 15 minutes listening and hearing. I don't know that my experience with older people who are losing function is that they're just happy to have someone physically there. And the conversation is secondary. And if the conversation is the same as last week, or even the same as it was 5 minutes ago, then even that's okay. And that we change our expectations and our goals and learn to just be present. At very least, it says to the people that God cares enough about them that somebody from the church, I dare say somebody from God, comes to be with them. I was called one time. Actually, I wasn't called. I went to one of my parishioners who had a pizza place for a sandwich, and the father of the pizza shop owner had just lost his wife in Syria and was unable to go for the funeral because they bury people right away. And he didn't speak English, and I don't speak Arabic. And he said to me through his son's translation, "God has visited me in my time of pain just because I showed up for a sandwich. And I showed when I was there that I cared and that he was valuable." And so I think we need to change our expectations and be comfortable with that. Yes, sir.
It seems to me that our church still we adore our older traditions. Their repositories of knowledge, tradition,
It's time well spent at coffee hour when you can sit down with somebody who can tell you what the church was like 35 or 40 years ago. And there are a really precious resource that I think we value. Our society does not value age. We're in love with youth.
Sure.
And I wonder, is our church going to change? Can we hold on to the tradition of venerating and uplifting and cherishing our elder people, or are we going to succumb as well? And if we're not, how do we fight against that?
Yeah. The question or the comment is that presently our church cultures venerate and value older church members and old age. And can we maintain that and keep that in our secular society in America that seems not to value old age as much and is quickly changing? I think that it is indeed our Orthodox ethos to value all humans, whether or not they produce. And when modern society of even decades ago didn't value children, for example, and didn't consider children to be people or have value, and children were allowed to be beaten or sent to do dangerous jobs in the meat packaging places and all of those kinds of things, that the church maintained a value for people. If you notice in the icons of Christ with the children usually don't look like children. They look like miniature adults. And the theological point of that is that children are human. They're valued by us. And a culture that can value children, that can value the unborn, can value older people. A culture that has no value for those who aren't producing has, I think, an inability to do that. Our Christian perspective is that God knows us from our womb, and He loves us, and He respects us, and He values us. And I think that that is not just cultural, but I think that that certainly is part of our Orthodox faith. Father?
I see that in the Orthodox world, our life, our parish life, our community life is centered in the liturgy, the Eucharistic liturgy, and the liturgical services. And that is, of course, as it should be. But I think I have my existential experience is a little bit different from yours, because my observation is that when people are not able to be present and participating in the liturgical life of the church, they very quickly become forgot, and they drift further and further away from the mind of the community of the church. I think that's a very deep tragedy for us, because the liturgy is not meant to be simply what we do when we are in the church, but what we also do when we are not in the church. I have two examples that are very indicative to me of how young people can be ministered to through ministry to those who are older and who are not as mobile and not as able to get to the church. In the train, when I was coming up here to this conference, there was two or three rows in front of me, there was a family with five young children. I mean young, one was an infant, and the others were in graduated steps. And they were very nicely behaved children, but there was an older couple sitting in front of them. And I saw those people when we were in the railway station in Orlando, and they looked very somber, and they were shuffling along, and they got in the train. But immediately when they discovered these children sitting behind them, They came alive. They came alive and they got up and they came back to the children and they started interacting with them and talking to them and asking them about what they had done in Disney World. And so I can tell you, hours went by and these children were responding so delightfully, so beautifully to the attention of these people who are not their parents, but who are older than their parents and whose only interest in them was to know about them, to hear about them. And pretty soon these little children were asking.
Sure. So children like novelty and older people,
and people
delight in having those opportunities. So putting them together is a win for everyone.
Right. And the second thing is, when I was a boy, I was in a Bible study made up of boys, and we had two men who were our teachers. And every few weeks they would take us what you might call a field trip. We would go to visit a shut-in person, not always elderly, but oftentimes an elderly person who was not able to get out much and was not able to be present in the church. When I look back at that, it's not so striking to me because it was a regular part of my life. And I think that's the best way to minister to children, is to find ways of relating them to Christ's love for all of us in ways that are not so extraordinary to them. And I do remember those old people who were very fascinating to me and to the other boys with them.
Some parishes have a Mother's Day out where they recruit older church members to babysit in a large room many children at a time, giving the parents 2 hours to do whatever they need to do, and that takes away some of the pressure in families. It gives the young people a time to be less abusive of their kids because they have a little bit more patience and time and get that breather. And the older people have some fun. They have something to look forward to once a month or once a week to participate in that kind of program. You mentioned how do we help people not be forgotten. 35 years ago, Father Paul Ziadek from Kensington, Pennsylvania, taught me that if you divide all of your parishioners up into in half, into two, then you can remember everybody in the parish every other week at the proscomedia. And by so doing, you call everyone to mind, and then you remember who you need to visit because you keep everybody in front of you and their needs. So that's kind of a practical way of remembering the older folks. But we need to be deliberate. What I did in my last parish is I, 3 or 4 times a year, did a computer breakout of everybody over 70. I just made sure that I knew where those folks were and what was going on in their lives and what their needs were. So it's kind of a not as good as the proscomedia, but it helps us keep track of the needs of our parishioners. Yes, sir.
I'll only make a comment and stimulate everyone's ideas since you just brought it up. Many of us are health practitioners. And in Cuba, the physicians are given a panel of only 1,000 families, and they are expected to both live in the community and visit each household every year. So you're just giving me maybe some ideas on, as I get older in practice, maybe part of cranking down would be maybe more intimate and holistic approach, something like that. You're mentioning the church could, but I tell you, our church right now can just barely pay our pastor, and I know we could not expect more of him at this point.
But perhaps by sharing in some of his ministry, you'll free some of his time to do other things. And you're someone who can show compassion and bring Christ to people and help people feel loved. And because you're coming from the church, you represent the church, and you not bring Christ to them, because Christ is already there, but help them know that Christ, who is there, loves them in a visible way, because the church came to visit them. Father?
Your Grace, if you want, just to share a story first.
How about if you speak in the microphone, so I don't repeat it?
I was a hockey coach for 20 years, I think. But, you know, for 14 years, I took care of an aunt who helped raise me. And she was had a brain injury as a child, so she was cognitively limited, but she was a delight. I mean, really a delightful person. And when you mentioned painting the nails of the older people, it just brought her to mind, because every week I made sure she got her nails painted. Sometimes by my kids, you know, but sometimes I'd take her to one of those parlors and put little flowers on and things like that. It was just the joy of her life, really, to have her nails painted. And I think there are a lot of older people who are cognitively limited who would enjoy attentions like that. And the question that I have for you has to do with activities and inviting older people to become active in the church. I've been blessed with very active seniors in my community, but their activity is pretty much confined to the kitchen and to selling and marketing and making pierogies and, you know, other ethnic foods. Now, they use the resource, I mean, they use the profits often for charitable purposes, but they have limited interaction with the larger community in which we live. And my hardest task in my parish is bringing my people into contact with the community immediately surrounding them. Because my church is in an area where, as we usually say, you know, the idiom is the neighborhood change. It's surrounded by Dominicans, by lower income people, not that my people have that high income. You know, but they're very shy of interacting with the people immediately around them, and I don't know how to make that come about, and whether I should be content with this interaction they have with each other, because it is, you know, warm and it's social and it brings them a lot of joy.
I'll say something that might get me in trouble. I think that many of our people are in ethnic ghettos and they don't really know what they have in Orthodoxy and in their Christianity, and that's why they are uncomfortable sharing their faith and reaching out to people that need help. And so I think we need to build our people up and tell them what they have and tell them who they are and show them the value of what they have so that they can reorient their thinking and be willing to reach out past themselves. Perhaps after they finish the parolis, the parohi, or whatever pronunciation, that you can give them some pointers or some fun facts of who they are and what they have and what special things that they are, so that they can share themselves and what they have with the world around them.
Somebody had the idea of giving free tickets, you know, in the neighborhood. You know, peppering the neighborhood with free tickets, you know, through the bazaar, through dinner and that.
Sure. And feeding people is great. Sitting down with the people that you're feeding,
yeah,
and getting to know them and entering their space and allowing your folks to encourage others, teach them how to encourage others and give them those opportunities to encourage others. I think that's terrific ministry and very appropriate. What a wonderful metaphor for a priest to be a hockey coach.
It prepares you for board meetings.
Thank you.
Yes.
So I'll do my best to explain this, and there might not be the answer, but I guess I'd like to hear your advice. So my dad is 91 years old, okay? And my dad calls up to get some sort of service on the phone, and I'm sitting there with him. And the service person automatically dismisses everything my dad says. But what my dad is saying is absolutely accurate. So now my dad hands the phone to me, and I tell the service person, and they leave me. And my dad faces this all the time. He calls me up here to get my prescriptions because they won't believe me when I tell them it didn't come in. So then I have to call the prescription people and tell them. But my dad is fully competent, and he can handle all this himself. And what happens is, as he gives me more and more, it's less and less that he himself is able to do for himself, but not because he can't do it, but because people at large don't seem to believe him. And I've talked to many people in that sort of situation in their 90s, 80s, where they have this problem of people not trusting them. Do you have any advice that could be used to help?
So your dad is a victim of ageism,
Yes. This
prejudice against older people, because everybody knows nobody over 40 knows anything, right? and from there, there's that slope. I would suggest that in front of your dad, after you explain to the person at the other end of the line what your dad was saying was accurate, that you point out to that person that your dad did explain that to build him up and help him feel better about himself, and to help the person at the other end of the line know that this person is worthy to be listened to and knows what he's saying. So I would take the, don't be too rude, but certainly be assertive enough for people to know that ageism is inappropriate. And, tell the pharmacist that she's prejudiced. Thank you very much.
For more information on OCAMPR, please visit their website at ocampr.org. This has been the Orthodox Christian Network reporting, myocn.net.